is a beautiful day in the neighborhood and all over this world. We're grateful for the weather and grateful for this opportunity to hear from the creator of our universe. So let's go. Let's dive into the word. We are in Mark, the first chapter this morning. Mark 1. We're going to be in verse 40 through 45. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here we go. Mark 1, 40 through 45. And it reads, "A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. 'If you are willing,' he said, 'you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' Jesus said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places." Somebody say lonely places.
Lonely places.
"Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." You could return with me quickly to just two verses, 40 and 41. "A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.'" Sisters and brothers, this morning, God is saying to us, "I want you to be whole. Do you? I want you to be whole. Do you?" Let's pray. God, we are grateful beyond words for your invitation to your house this morning. We're grateful that no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstance, no matter what the problems we brought in today, the pain that's in our heads, God, no matter where we are, you called us to be here with you. We trust in this moment that you have something to say to us. And oh, God, how we need it. God, how some of us can say we need to hear from you. God, tell us the truth about us today. Tell us the truth about how you feel about us. We are listening, God. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, make you smile, God, because you make us smile every day. It is in your mighty and your holy name that we pray. We say together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I live, some of you know, in the faraway land of Manhattan. Maybe you've heard of it. It's far. Let me tell you, it's far. Somebody say far.
Far.
I live at the top of Manhattan. But Manhattan is a magical place. When I first got there, I had to learn something. Something about Manhattan that I wasn't used to is that somebody is always in your way. Somebody say in your way. Somebody is always in your way in Manhattan. How many know that? Anybody been to the faraway land? In Manhattan, someone is always in your way. What do I mean? Well, you try to get on the train, and there's somebody in your way. Either their coat or their bag or the outer quarter of their thigh is in your way. You try to find a parking spot if you drive somewhere and you're just a little bit late and you see the perfect parking spot. It's right there for you. It would help you out a tremendous amount. But someone else also thought it was the perfect parking spot. And their car is there in your what? In your way. If you go to a restaurant, you go in to speak to the hostess and you tell her you need a table and she tells you you're going to have to wait not 5, not 10, but 45 minutes. Because there's already another family sitting at this lovely table that if you sat at that table, they would bring you food to eat. But the family is not done eating yet and you're so hungry. You just wish you could sit down, but there's someone there in your what? In your way. It was hard for me to learn this when I moved to Manhattan. But I learned it. I learned that we as New Yorkers, we get used to people being in our what? Being in our way. Well, one thing I have discovered in this life is that really, with the deeper issues of life, with the problems that chase us down most fiercely, with some of the things that grab us and won't let us go, things that aren't just physical, it's usually not somebody else who's in our way. Usually we get in our own way. Y'all notice that? We get in our own way. What do I mean? Say you can't get your health together. Just can't get it together. Yes, there are some outside factors that are beyond your control. But yes, there are some other things called donuts, right? Yes, I know it's not your fault that someone brought donuts to the office meeting instead of fruit salad. But it's not their fault that you ate one or two, right? It's not their fault. These things happen. Sometimes we get in our own way. Maybe it's not donuts. Maybe it's the constant stress that you live in. Doctor says you need to chill out, but you are addicted to your daily dose of 24/7 worry and 13 activities. And because of it, because you can't relax, like the doctor said, the numbers don't change. The ulcers don't go away. The stress and the blood pressure doesn't go down. We get in our own what? Our own way. If you don't have the love that you want in your life, can't seem to find it. Yes, I know New York is a difficult place to date. I've heard it. I know. But it doesn't help that you won't go meet anybody new. It doesn't help that you haven't been on a date since 1987. In my experience, sometimes the first date has to come before the wedding day. Amen. Sometimes we get in our own way. And sometimes even when it's deeper things, not just things like that that you can write on a piece of paper, but just sometimes when life doesn't feel the way you thought it was going to feel. When you go to bed at night with worry on your mind and you wake up in the morning with disappointment all around you, life just doesn't feel the way you want it to feel. Feel like one thing comes together and four things fall apart. Sometimes we notice, though, that it's not so much the situation. Sometimes it's just that we get in the habit of feeling a certain way. We get used to the worry and the disappointment. Then we can't tell if it's really there's something to worry about or that's just what we do. It could ruin a perfectly good day with a big enough dose of pessimism and insecurity. Anybody know that? Sometimes we get in our own way. One way we get in our own way as people who follow Jesus, one way we get in our own way is with bad theology. The things we believe about God sometimes impede us from having the lives that we want to live, from accessing that abundant life that he said he came to give us. Sometimes the things we tell ourselves about our Creator, they get in our way. Now you might say to me, theology? I don't even really know, Pastor, what theology is. Is that a city in Greece? Is that the study of the word thee? I don't really think about theology, you might say to me, I really don't think about it until I come on Sunday. You might say, how is my theology getting in my way? Well, how we think about God, how we think about our Creator is a reflection of how we think about ourselves. Your theology can get in your way because it impacts how you feel about your existence in this world. This is how our theology gets in our way. When things don't go right in life, when something goes wrong, when we face challenges or even tragedies, many times we turn to the language of faith to try to understand, where is God in all of this? What is God about in this situation? Sometimes we end up grasping onto ideas about God that get in our way. We say things, maybe you've heard them, like, everything happens for a what? For a reason. Everything happens for a reason. God doesn't give us more than we can handle. We say things like, God is all powerful, so if it happened, God must have allowed it. We get in our way. These ideas about God do not serve us, because sometimes we start thinking that maybe the things that went wrong for us, the pain in our situation, maybe God wants it this way. Maybe God is okay with it. Maybe this is God's will. Maybe God is not too interested if it's been this way for this long. Maybe God is not too interested in changing it. Maybe God does not really want to make me whole. This was the tension in the spirit of the man that we meet today. This was the question running laps in his mind as we see him today. He had seen Jesus heal other people. Anybody seen things happen for other people and wonder, can it happen for you? He had seen Jesus work wonders, seen lives turned around, seen broken dreams put back together, but he didn't know if it was in the cards for him. He didn't know if he warranted this divine attention that he had seen acted out in other places. This has been my lot for so long, he said to himself. Maybe God is okay with it. Maybe this is just the way it's going to be. Maybe God is not interested in turning this around. If God had wanted it differently, wouldn't God have done it already? He knew that Jesus could make it whole, make him whole. That wasn't the question. Jesus, do you want to? It wasn't hard for this man to wonder if Jesus really cared about his condition. He lived in a world where it seemed like no one cared about him or cared if he got better at all. It wasn't hard for him to think maybe Jesus felt the same way. This man had leprosy. And the cruelty of the culture concerning those who found themselves with this disease, it was so extreme that they would completely exclude people from society. If you found yourself in the situation where you had leprosy, people who found themselves with this pain, they were required to live apart, completely apart. They weren't allowed by, and this is religious law, these are the church people doing this, I need you to understand. They weren't allowed to get married. They weren't allowed, people in this situation weren't allowed to live with their friends. They had to wear only torn clothes. They couldn't comb their hair or take care of their appearance. And then in order to make 100% sure that they were completely isolated from the love and the concern that every human being needs, they were required, anytime they would approach someone, to yell out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine having to announce your issues? Most of us, many of us, I shouldn't say most, we had issues, but they're hidden. You don't have to go around announcing, this is my neurosis. This is the way I'm crazy. Just watch out. Might help us. Might help some of us if we did. But can you imagine the shame on top of the physical pain of his situation, the shame that human beings heap on top of each other? They also believed about this situation that he found himself in, this situation of leprosy. They also believed that it was his fault. Whew. This unclean thing, it wasn't just a medical designation. It wasn't just a designation to let other people know whether he was contagious or not. No, it had a deeper meaning. This was a religious designation. It meant that he was ceremonially unclean. He wasn't fit to go into the temple. He wasn't fit to be around other people. Why? Because they believed that he had done this to himself. He had earned his suffering because they believed that it was divine punishment for a serious sin. Isn't this what we do? Somebody goes through something and we look for reasons that they did something wrong to deserve it, that they did something wrong to merit this suffering in them. We heap cruelty on top of pain. Such was the cruelty of the rules that dictated this man's experience. He was completely isolated. He was made to be ashamed. And then on top of it, he was told it was his own fault. You know, it's interesting how the man approaches Jesus. The scripture tells us, Mark tells us, that he comes up to Jesus and he gets on his knees. He begs. He gets on his knees. But you know, it's fascinating to me. I don't know if you ever noticed that Jesus never once in our scriptures asked someone to get on his knees. Whether they were asking for something or whether they were had done something wrong, Jesus never says to one, I need you to beg for it. But you know what he does say? 18 times our Lord says to people, get up. 18 times Jesus says to people, I need you standing. Get up, rise. Many times this is how we approach God, is it not? We are so beaten down by our world, by our circumstance, by the way people feel about us, that we approach God in the same way. I'm telling you, your theology is a reflection of how you feel about yourself. We approach God with an attitude of humility, yes, but of self-degradation. We get on our knees, come begging to God, God, please heal me. And God says, I want to heal you. You don't have to beg me. You are my precious child. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I need you to stand. Oh, but we come to God in these ways that reflect the way the world has talked to us about ourselves. The way we approach God, I'm telling you, is a reflection of the way we feel about ourselves. So here he is. Here is this man that we meet today. Jesus doesn't tell him to get on his knees, but he does. He's not sure he warrants divine attention. He's not sure if he deserves to get the favor of the Most High. And he says to Jesus, I know you have the power to make me whole. I've seen it. I know you have the power. I just don't know if you want to. Do I warrant it, Jesus? Am I within your realm of divine concern? Am I worth it? Our theology can get in our way. We can wonder sometimes if God really wants us to find the solutions to the situations that most hurt us, the circumstances that most bind us, the pain that we just can't seem to shake off. We can wonder if God really wants us to be made whole, if God is really in this with us, or if it's just the way it's gonna be. We can start to believe, well, if it's been this way for so long, if this is the way it's been, this must just be how God ordained it. If God wanted to fix it, wouldn't God have done that long ago? You may say, you know, that you think your theology is fine. You may say to me, you know what, me and God, we're good. We're tight. We're fine. I know God wants to be with to help me out. I know God is on my side. I've sung the songs and I've been to church and I know that my Redeemer lives. You may say that to me. But I could say to you that I can tell how your theology is based on the way you feel about yourself. I can tell how you feel about God, just the way it reflects, how you feel about God reflects how you feel about yourself. You tell me how you feel about yourself and I'll tell you how you feel about God. Because when you think God is okay with your situation, when you think God is okay with the pain that you're in, you also start to believe some other things about yourself. What does it do to us when we start to believe that God is okay with our pain? It does three things that get in our way. Somebody say, get in our way. Three things. It makes us feel, first of all, that our pain, our problems, our circumstance, the things that are wrong, they are just inherent to us. Somebody say, inherent. They're inherent to us. Have you ever wondered if you've ever been in pain? Have you ever wondered if the things about your life that are difficult, that won't leave you alone, that keep you up at night, the things that went wrong and just can't seem to get right, that make your days heavy and not light, that make your days hard and not joyful. Sometimes when the things that have been with you for so long, or when they impact you so deeply, you start to believe it's just part of who you are. You begin to wonder if it's just something about you, if it's inherent. We have secular ways to say this. You may have heard, oh, it's a biological predisposition, inherent. Oh, it runs in the family, inherent. But these secular ways to explain it, they're a reflection of our theology. They mean that if we truly believe this, that God put it there by design, inherent to who we are. Maybe it's not the amount of time it's been with you, but just how deeply it has consumed you. It just won't let you go. Your pain has taken up residence. It's with you every day. It's basically all you think about. You can't tell the difference anymore between yourself and the thing that is wrong, between yourself and your situation. It becomes inherent to you. This man that we meet today, Mark doesn't even give him a name. In the NIV, it says the man with leprosy, but the Greek just has the leper. He had become completely wrapped up in his situation. His pain had become his identity. People didn't even say his name anymore. They just said, oh, the leper. We do this too, don't we? Oh, the homeless person. That's not who they are. That is their situation. Oh, the man in the wheelchair. That is not who he is. That is his situation. But we do this as well. And the worst is when we do it to ourselves. Our identity becomes so wrapped up in the things that go wrong that we can't tell the difference, and we begin to believe that it's just who we are. If it's just who God made you to be, it was in there by design. Another thing that happens when we believe that God does not want us to be whole, another thing that gets in our way, is that we start to feel like the situation that is hurting us is permanent. Somebody say permanent. Permanent. Ooh, this is a painful one. Sometimes along our journeys, we get convinced that the things that hurt us are permanent fixtures in our lives, that they're just the way things are going to be. Maybe because of how long it has lasted. I don't know what your pain is, but maybe at year one, you were still feeling pretty okay about it. You thought it was going to get better. You were feeling hopeful. You were praising the Lord. You were believing for a better ending. And then by year two and three, you were hopeful, but you weren't optimistic anymore. You weren't shouting about it. You were kind of just humming along with the song. Then by year seven and year eight, we can begin to believe that these things that hurt us are permanent in our lives. In this man's culture that we meet today, there were all sorts of protocol about how to treat people who found themselves in this situation. There was protocol about how far they had to stay away from the city. There was protocol about what they had to wear and what they had to do with their pain, with their disease. There was protocol for everything about them, but there was not protocol about how to help them. People had not developed any mechanisms to look for the hope of this man's future. They had not developed any ways to look for a better future for him. There was protocol for everything, but nobody believed there was a way to get him better. Oh, permanent. Permanent. When we believe that God is not on our side, does not want us to get better, is not interested in healing us, it's so easy to feel that our situation, our pain, our circumstance, our problems are permanent. The third thing it makes us feel when we believe that God is not on our side, when God does not want us to be whole, it can make us feel sometimes like our problems, our pain is merited. Somebody say merited. Merited, that we deserve it, that somehow we did something to earn this suffering we're going through. Many of us, even if it's not conscious, we start to get the idea that what we're going through is a reflection of our worth. Has anybody been there? That you know God is a forgiving God, that God forgives and forgives, but something in us keeps searching for the reasons. Where did I go wrong? To end up in this situation that won't let me go, to end up in this place that won't let me free. How did I end up here? What did I do? I must have done something to deserve this torture. There must have been some misstep, some mistake on my part. Maybe this is merited. Somebody say merited. The people who surrounded the man we meet today, we know they believe that if someone had contracted leprosy, as we said, it was a punishment for a serious sin. They don't want to look at the man for the situation that he was in. They didn't want to see the man underneath the pain. So they said, you know what? It must have been something that he did. They looked for reasons. Oh, we do this in our world. Looked for reasons that he did something wrong, some reason to earn this physical distress, this problem that wouldn't seem to go away. They looked for reasons. They blamed it on him. They thought, God must be mad at him. He must have done something to earn this. Because otherwise, why would things go so wrong? We double and we triple our pain. We quadruple, and I don't know how to say we times it by seven, but we times it by seven. We double, we triple, we add so much pain to our pain by looking for our own fault in the situation. How much farther we would be if we truly believed that we deserved happiness. We truly believe that we deserved to be whole. When we don't believe that God wants us to be whole, we can feel that our pain is inherent. We can feel that it's permanent. We can feel that it's merited. We can spend months, even years, wrestling unconsciously with these questions, these subtle questions that burrow their way into our psyches. They take up residence there. They don't let us go. We can spend years not chasing after our healing. Why? Because we believe it's permanent. We believe it's just going to be there. We're not looking for the abundant life that we were promised because we believe that it's just who we are. We believe there's nothing we can do about it. We believe maybe even we deserve it. Somewhere in us, we got convinced that God didn't want to fix this. I wonder how long this man wrestled. How long he asked himself these questions before he decided one day, I'm going to go find out for myself. I wonder how long he let the external barriers and those internal things that got in his way. Was it years that he wondered, did I do this to myself? Was it years that he wondered, how long is this going to be my situation? Was it years that he wondered, is just this just who I am? Was this by design? Was it years that he asked himself these questions? Well, I don't know. I know some of us have asked ourselves these questions for years. But I do know that one day this man, in spite of everything that was on top of him, the pain coming at him, some of us cannot even imagine the pain that this man was enduring. But in spite of it all, one day he woke up and something was different. I don't know if you've had one of those days. You wake up and you say, something's different today. He had heard what everybody else thought about him and how God felt about his situation and his pain. But today something was different, and he decided to go find out for himself how the Holy felt about him. It is a beautiful day, I need to let you know. It is a beautiful day when you decide for yourself that you're going to go find out what the Holy feels about you. When you're not going to ask anybody else what God thinks anymore. When you're not going to ask other people's opinions about you and your situation. But when you decide you are going to go ask God and no one else whether your pain is inherent to you. Whether it's going to be permanent. Whether you did something to deserve it. When you decide to go to the source about your situation. It's a beautiful day when you decide you're no longer to listen to the pessimistic doctors. You're no longer to listen to the faithless friends that you got around you. You're no longer going to listen even to the whisperings in your own spirit that tell you that there's no hope for this situation, that God wants it this way. That's what the man did today. Something was different today. Something shifted in him, and he finally shook off other people's opinions about him and how God felt about him, and he went straight to Jesus. Can you see him there today? He went straight to Jesus in spite of the crowds telling him, you can't come through here. You're supposed to be outside of the city. He pushed past the external barriers and he pushed past the internal barriers and he went straight to Jesus. Jesus, I know what they said about me. Jesus, I know that they say this is just who I am. They can't see past my condition. I know they say it's God's will and it's permanent. But Jesus, tell me, is it true? Do you want me to be in this situation or do you want me to be whole? Does anybody know what it feels like to hear a yes from God? To hear a yes from God when the world has been telling you no. To hear a yes, a resounding yes from God when from your maker when the mess around you is telling you no. Does anybody know what it feels like to hear a yes from God? This is what the man hears today. Yes, Jesus says. Yes, Jesus says, of course I want you to be whole. You are a child of God. Of course he wants you to be whole. You are a child of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. Of course I want you to have what you need for your story to have a happy ending. I don't know who told you that God is not interested in your wholeness. I don't know who told you that, but it's a lie. Yes, I want you to be whole. Oh, to hear a yes from God. To hear a yes from God when the world has been telling you no. To hear a yes from God can change everything. My answer to you is yes, he said. You know, God's answer to us is always yes. God's answer to us is always yes. We hear a lot of no's and we believe them over the yes that we hear from God. How do I know? One thing that the man didn't realize this day, and one thing that we often overlook, is that the solution to our pain, the mechanisms of our wholeness, they're already part of God's design. They're already curated as part of creation. They're already planned as part of God's brilliant design. Leprosy, we know, is a daunting disease, and it's still around today. It's still around today, but because of the social stigma that was attached to it, they changed the name, and now they call it Hansen's disease. Somebody say Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease. So leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease, it's been around for millennia. It still impacts people today. But they've discovered a cure for Hansen's disease. They have discovered that Hansen's disease, I'm telling you, the solutions, the mechanisms to our wholeness, God has already put as part of God's masterful design. The cure for Hansen's disease, they've discovered that it's a bacteria and it's curable using antibiotics. Somebody say antibiotics. Antibiotics, I need you to know, I didn't know this, but I discovered this man's story showed me that antibiotics are produced in nature. They are found in soil, in bacteria, and in fungi. So can you see here that the cure for this disease, which this man thought might have been God's idea, might have been what God wanted for him, might have been his fate, his permanent state in life, his pain might have been permanent. This cure, the cure for this disease was already right there as part of God's creation. It was under the ground. It was in the ground he was walking on. It was in the mushrooms growing in the dirt under his feet. Of course God wanted him to be made whole. God put the answer to his pain as part of the design. Antibiotics, part of nature. Don't get in your way wondering if your pain is God's will. Of course God wants you to be whole. God put the ingredients for your wholeness all around you. In the doctors that are going to help you out, and the angels you will meet along the way, and the friends and the family that will scoop you up out of whatever depression you could find yourself in, and the miracles that go unnoticed all the time. That's God putting the mechanisms of your wholeness all around you in this magnificent design. Under your feet and in the world around you, God wants you to be whole. But if we don't believe that God is on our side, We won't go chasing after the things that make us whole. We will stay on the edge of the crowd, wondering, is it my fault? Is this thing just part of who I am? God put the solution to your circumstance right under your feet, in the ground you walk on, in the world you inhabit. Doctors in first century Palestine, they didn't know this yet, so they had to do it the old-fashioned way. Jesus, couldn't send him to a doctor. The doctor wouldn't have had any solution for him, so God, Jesus did it the old-fashioned way. He just reached out his hand, he touched the man, and he made him whole. Yes, I want you to be whole, he said. Yes, I want you to be whole. I wish we could hear the rest of the conversation. You know, Mark is a very sparse writer. He doesn't write everything that happened. He just gets straight to the point. But I wish we could hear the rest of what Jesus said to him, because I feel like it would help us with the pain that we confront in our own lives. I wish we could have heard when Jesus said to him, yes, I want you to be whole. Yes, I care about your pain. Yes, it matters to me. Yes, you were designed to have an abundant life. Yes, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, my answer to you is yes. Because then I think after that, Jesus would have said to him, yes, I want you to be whole. Do you? Do you want to be whole? Because if you want to be whole, he says, you're going to have to change the way you think about me. You're going to have to change your theology. You're going to have to change your mind about your pain. You're going to have to stop believing that it's part of who you are, that it's permanent. You can't believe that anymore. If you really want to be whole and you can't believe that it's a reflection of your worth, you got to stop believing that. You got to hear me when I say yes. You know, when we believe that God really wants us to be whole, you know, we're 90% there. You know, that's more than half the battle. When we really believe that our Creator wants us to have the life that we were created to live, you know, that's 90% of the battle. That's why Mark said to us today, right after Jesus said yes to him, it was immediately, was right away that wholeness was his, that he gained a strength that was stronger than his circumstance, right away. Same with us. Once you believe that God is on your side, I mean really on your side, once you believe that God wants you whole, that your situation is not permanent, that it's not designed as part of you as who you are, that it's not a reflection of your worth, once you believe that, you are 90% of the way there. Wholeness is yours. Just reach out and grab it. I don't know what your pain is today. I don't know what situation is strangling you or is weighing on you or is bothering you. I don't know what you come to the Lord with today. It might not be something with a label. It might not be diagnosable, but God cares about your pain. God is saying to you, yes. No matter what they told you about what you're going through, my answer to you is yes. Did you know that Jesus never once in the scriptures told anybody no? Anytime they asked to be healed, Jesus never said no to them. Yet we get the impression all the time that God is saying no to us. God's answer to you is yes. God's answer to you is yes. I want you to be made whole. God's answer to you is yes. I want you to be made whole. Do you? God's answer to us is yes. Let's answer back to God today. Yes, God. I want to be whole. Amen. If you could stand to your feet.